Take your Bibles if you guys would, and I want to invite you to turn to look at Philippians chapter 3. Also want to ask if you have a phone with you today just to make sure that you have that put away. And we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3. Also, if you need a Bible, just raise your hand. We want to make sure you can follow along, so just let those guys know. They'll make sure you get you a Bible. Purple ketchup, baby food for grown-ups, and toothpaste dinners. All of those are examples of really bad ideas. Maybe some of you this morning here are entrepreneurs. You like to come up with ideas, maybe invent things that you think might be a good business idea. You would probably know that those things that I just listed are all pretty bad ideas. Purple ketchup, baby food for grown-ups, and toothpaste dinners. I'll explain that a little bit. This first picture here that I have is from the year 2000. Heinz Ketchup Company came up with and they invented the idea of purple ketchup. And that ketchup actually came in three different colors. There was teal, green, and I think the worst and gross looking is purple. And the company said they thought that this different colored ketchup would appeal especially to kids and to younger people. But this product actually turned out to fail horribly because purple ketchup looks gross and it's just a bad idea. Another example is in the 1970s, the Gerber Baby Food Company came up with and they invented the idea of baby food for adults, which again just looks really gross. And some of the options there were beef, blueberry, and Mediterranean vegetables. Again, this product also failed horribly. Sorry, I'm kind of grossing you out this morning. Maybe one of the worst ideas of entrepreneurs and people that businesses that were coming up with ideas is from the 1980s. It's when the Colgate Toothpaste Company came up with the idea to make frozen dinners. Now, these frozen dinners were just ordinary, like, meals that you could microwave, but this idea also failed horribly because people couldn't help but think and imagine that the Colgate food tasted just like their toothpaste, even though it didn't. All of these were bad ideas. And part of what made these ideas fail so badly was that each of them came from companies that lost their focus. These ideas were all ideas that came from businesses that drifted away from doing the one thing that they did well. Heinz makes really good ketchup, but they don't make good purple ketchup. Gerber is really good at making baby food, but not food for adults. And Colgate makes really good toothpaste, but they don't make really good food. All of these companies drifted away from doing what they're good at, doing what they should be doing, what they were supposed to be doing. And the result was horrible. All of these businesses lost sight of the right priorities. They drifted away from their mission and from doing the one thing that they should be doing. They got distracted away from doing what really mattered. And they forgot to focus on what they were all about and what mattered. This passage that we're looking at this morning is here to help us make sure that we don't drift away from the one thing that we should be doing if we're Christians. It's a section of the Bible that much more seriously is here to help believers in Jesus make sure that we don't go off track, make sure that we don't lose our focus on what matters most to us. It's a passage of verses that gives us some encouragement not to get distracted away from what we should be caring about as followers of Jesus. And Paul wrote these verses here in Philippians 3 to help Christians not lose sight of the right priorities. to help keep Christians sticking to our mission. And one of the things we learn about in Philippians, as we've been learning from this book, and not just from this book, but from so much of the Bible, is that to be a Christian is so much more than just a one-time commitment. Like, I just sign off on this ID card, I'm a Christian. And then you continue to live your life unchanged without Jesus as a part of it. No, the Bible tells us something very different, that once you become a Christian, everything in your life changes. The direction that you're headed, the way you live each day looks different, is changed, it's transformed because Jesus is now your Savior and he's now your Lord. He changes everything for good in a way that lasts forever. He makes Christians his workmanship, created for good works, Ephesians 2 says, which God prepared beforehand. He saves us from the sadness and hopelessness of life that's lost in sin, and he rescues us for his glory and for his purposes. God saves us to make us more and more like his son, Jesus. And one day in heaven and glory, we'll be perfectly like his son, Jesus. And here, God's word helps us who are believers in Jesus to know how to start and how to keep going toward the right goal. Your life's been saved by Jesus, but now you're on a new track, a new direction, and you now have a new focus. And these verses are here to help us not get taken off of focus, to keep us from failure, to keep us from the sadness that comes from living any way different than what God wants for us. Here we find some priorities that God gives us, some attitudes that we should have to help us be Christians who are growing and into who God wants us to be. God has saved us, and he wants us to grow in our walk with him. He wants our life to be filled with the greatest joy there is, knowing Jesus. He wants us to be walking in the ways that are more and more like Jesus. He wants us to glorify him and to have our lives filled with peace and joy as strong Christians, and to become everything that he wants us to be. And here in Philippians 3, God reminds us and helps us know how that can happen, how we can be Christians who are growing and headed in the right direction and are focused on the right things. And here's a big idea that we can ask this morning. It's a question. What can help me grow as a Christian? What priorities does God provide that can help me keep growing as a Christian? What attitudes and priorities does God say I should have that can help me become a stronger Christian who's focused on the right things and who's knowing more and more of the joy of being a Christian and walking in his ways? Well, here God shows us in Philippians chapter 3 how we can stick to the mission, how we can be kept from failing as in our walk as Christians. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 12. It says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained." What can help me grow as a Christian? These verses reveal and show us three different attitudes of a Christian who's growing. Number one, the first attitude God gives us here in these verses is that we should be humble in the present. Christians are humble in the present. And look just again at verse 12. Paul writing here says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect." Paul tells us that the way that he thinks about himself as a Christian, and a Christian who's been so for a long time, for decades at this point, walking with Jesus, the way that he thinks about himself is that he has not yet arrived. He hasn't reached the final goal of perfection in his life as a Christian. We know from the verses before this that Paul had met Christ many years before, and that when that happened, everything in his life changed. Paul came to understand and respond to the gospel, which verse 9 tells us about. He was no longer seeking to earn a right relationship with God and deal with the guilt of his sin by doing good works. Instead, he realized that God provided the gift of his son Jesus in our place to die on the cross. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and whoever believes in Jesus will not perish or die in our sins, but will have everlasting life. And that message of trusting in Jesus for salvation transformed Paul's life. And that same message is the same today, that if anyone trusts in Christ, no matter who you are or what you've done, if you come and turn and believe in Jesus, you too can be saved. That's a message of good news about Christ. And that was true for Paul for a long time now. He had been saved from his sins through believing in Jesus. He was forgiven from all of his sins. He was declared righteous because of what Jesus did in coming and dying on the cross. Paul was now a Christian, and he had a right relationship with God because he was a believer in Jesus. But now Paul tells us here something really amazing in verse 12, that as a Christian, he had not accomplished his goal of fully knowing Jesus Christ. He was not yet perfect. He didn't know everything that it meant to be a perfect Christian. Another way to say that is Paul was humble about who he was at the present time, right now, between his conversion when he first became a Christian and before he would one day reach heaven and meet Jesus and be in his presence forever. In between that time, Paul says, "I'm not yet perfect. I have not already obtained the goal." Right now, here in his life, Paul says, "I'm a Christian and I'm still not yet perfect or without sin." But this is exactly the attitude. This is exactly the priority, the way of thinking that God holds up here and that God wants us to have as Christians right now. God wants us to be humble and to admit that I have not yet become perfect. If you play a sport, like if you play basketball, you might really love to watch basketball. That would make sense. Watching some of the best players in the world play that sport so well. But sometimes you notice that even the best players mess up. They make some mistakes sometimes. They would even have to admit that even they, being the best at their sport, still aren't perfect all the time. Paul could be compared to that great athlete. He was one of the greatest Christians who's ever lived. And here, he's been a Christian for a long time, but he could say, "I'm still not yet a perfect Christian." And if Paul, who's been a Christian for so long here, is not yet perfect, that means no Christian is. Paul still knows it and makes sure other people know here that he still battles sin as a Christian, and he still isn't everything God wants him to be. He still hasn't reached perfection in the Christian life. 1 John talks about this. It says in 1 John 1:8, talking of Christians, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's the attitude of a Christian who confesses, I'm still a sinner. I've not yet reached perfection. That's a priority and an attitude God wants you to have if you're a Christian. To be humble in the present and admit that we're still imperfect. We still have a battle with sin while we're here on this earth, and we haven't yet reached perfection that we're going to someday in heaven with Jesus. I think especially if you're a younger Christian, this is such an important truth to hold on to. To know that a sin in your life that you hate and that bothers you and that you're confessing to the Lord and seeking to turn away from and repent from isn't a sign that you're not a Christian. That awareness and that hate for your sin against God actually can be a strong sign that you are a Christian and that God's Spirit is working in you. And on the other hand, if you're someone who's going through life and who's pretending that your sin is not a big deal, or pretending that you have no sin at all, saying and telling yourself that you're not really that much of a sinner and that sin's no big deal against God, thinking that you're good enough on your own, those are some strong signs of someone who's in serious danger. If sin's no big deal to you, then you should have a warning going off that says, I need to turn to Jesus and be saved from my sin. But for the Christian here, in order to grow, we are first to be like Paul here, who was humble in the present, admitting that I still have growing to do. I'm still longing to get rid of sin in my life and to turn away from it and to be more like Jesus. We're aware of it and we're turning away from it, knowing that we need to grow as a Christian. That's the attitude that can help us grow as Christians. But we also here find another attitude, number two, to be forgetting the past. The second attitude of a growing Christian who doesn't get moved away from the right goal is to be forgetting the past. Paul didn't want to lose sight of his goal to know Jesus more and to be like Jesus. And so he says here in verse 13, if we look, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. What could help Paul grow as a Christian? What could help him not go off track or lose focus on becoming more of who Jesus wanted him to be? He says there's one thing he has a focus on here. There's one thing I do. He has one focus, and it's to keep going forward, almost like a runner in a race that involves going at the highest speed possible. And it also involves, he says there in verse 13, forgetting what lies behind. I don't know a lot about running myself, but maybe some of you here are like on the track team or on a cross-country team. And I'm sure you could tell us this, but at least according to one list I found, there are three reasons why looking back at what's behind you while you're running is such a huge mistake. This list says that looking back while you're running can change your running form, and then that can mess you up and all of your pace and momentum will be thrown off. It also says that looking back can change your running mindset. It can turn you away from focusing on your goal to focusing on other things, and that can slow you down and trip you up. It also says that looking back lets your competition know that you are tired and that you can easily be beat. There are so many stories out there of people running in a race, but then they lose the race just because they took one look back. And all of a sudden, just because they took that look back, they fall behind. They trip up. They're kept back in the race. Another way to think about that is just to say that looking back in a race is a bad idea. And the same goes for your responsibility to grow as a Christian. We need to put out of mind some things that belong behind us. I think if you ever visit with some older people, you know, like, they love to tell stories from the past. And that can be really great. Like, if you're around your grandparents, they might love to always be talking about things that used to happen. Now, there's nothing bad about that, but Paul's saying that can't be us. We can't be always thinking about what happened behind us. We need to forget the past in some ways as a Christian. And what is Paul thinking about when he says he forgets here? What should the Christian forget in order to press on and keep going and be focused in that race as a Christian? Well, we know believers should never forget all of the good things that God has done. There's so much of the Bible that reminds us of that. I like Psalm 77, verse 11. It says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord." I'll remember the good things that God has done for me. I should be thankful for all that God has done in saving me and giving me so many good blessings in this life. So many wonderful things that God has done in allowing me to grow up with the family I have and with the good experiences I've had. So Paul's not saying forget all of that. But I think he's talking about what our focus is on. And I think some people have a focus, and we could even ask you if your focus is, as a Christian, always on the things that you've done in the past. Things that you've accomplished as a Christian, accomplished for Jesus or for others, all that you've achieved as a Christian, even good things that aren't bad, all of the church activities that you've done growing up. Maybe you're stuck always thinking about all of your successes and experiences growing up in a church. Or maybe you're stuck always thinking about all of your embarrassing failures. You're living beat down and discouraged, focused on the sin that Christ has already forgiven you of, that Christ has already covered through dying for you on the cross. Paul says some of those things we need to forget, even the good things in the past, and especially the bad things that Christ has saved you from. Paul says, I forget that. I will not give attention to what lies behind me as I grow as a Christian. We need to leave the things of the past in their place. The priority of a growing Christian forgets, Paul says, the past. He forgets all of his successes, all of his failures, and he keeps looking directly ahead. He keeps his eyes forward. Which brings us to number three, one last attitude of a growing Christian that we can see here. We're to be humble in the present, forgetting the past. And number three, Paul encourages Christians to be pursuing the prize. Pursuing the prize. We see this attitude again and again in this passage here. Verse 12, Paul says, I press on. He wants to lay hold of a prize, which was already Jesus' goal for him too, and what Jesus had saved him for. And then verse 13, he says, I reach forward. In verse 14, again, he says, I press on. In verse 15, he says, let us have all, as Christians, this attitude. And he's talking about that attitude of pressing on. And then in verse 16, let us keep living this way. Paul's making it clear that this is the attitude of a Christian. We keep moving forward. We press on. That's another way to say that we're striving and we're giving it everything we've got. We keep on reaching and pressing on and going forward, giving every ounce of effort like someone who's running in a race at full speed and full effort. Christians shouldn't hold any energy back, using all of the power, all of the resources we have as followers of Jesus. We're humble right now. We know we haven't made it yet, and we're forgetting the past. And now Paul says we keep our focus going forward. We don't give up. We keep on going. We keep at it. Verse 14 says to reach the goal, which is the prize in the future. Like runners giving everything we've got, we're focused on that finish line. And one day in heaven, we'll be made perfect like Jesus. I think that's what Paul's talking about there when he says the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's focused on that one day when he'll be without sin with Jesus forever, when he'll see his Savior as he is, when he'll meet Jesus in glory. That's our goal, and that's our prize as Christians, that we get to know Jesus better and to be like him, and one day to be like him in perfect glory. And then now in verse 15, Paul tells us that this is the attitude of someone who is perfect. He says, verse 15, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude of pressing on. Is that Paul saying that this is somebody who's become a perfect Christian? We know that's not possible. That's against what he's just been saying about himself. He's not talking about a Christian who has no sin in his life. So verse 15 instead is talking about somebody who is mature, somebody who is a mature Christian who understands things the way they should be. That's what he means by perfect there. It's an attitude of living in this way, going forward, pressing on, knowing I haven't arrived yet, but I keep going forward to be like Jesus. I hope that if you're a Christian this morning, you're growing. I hope that you're not discouraged in your walk with Jesus. If you are, these verses are so good for you to keep at it, to keep on striving to know Jesus who loves you and who saved you from your sins, to know him better, to even today be running toward what he wants for your life, to run that race well and to keep on seeking to understand more of who Jesus is and to follow Jesus as your Savior better, to focus your life on him, to pursue knowing him more. God says to you, Christian, this morning, keep at it. Keep going. God has saved us, and he wants us to grow in our walk with him. He wants our life to be filled with the great joy of walking with Jesus, having our life free from the sin that enslaves so many people, to have our life live for his glory and for the good of other people, to have our life filled with peace more and more knowing Jesus. And here God helps us know how that can happen, how we can grow into more of who God wants us to be as Christians. First, it starts by believing in the gospel. That's the example of Paul. And then as a Christian, it continues by you pressing on, forgetting the past, humble in the present, and pursuing the prize that's ahead of you in the future. Sometimes people can go way off track. They can lose their focus on doing what should really matter most. We can forget and we can drift away from our mission, which will only lead to failure. So God helps us here. He guides us and gives us the attitudes to make sure that we have as Christians, to keep on going, to press on, to forget the past, and to have our minds focused on the future, to be more like Jesus, who loves us and who saved us. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are a savior of sinners, and that you have saved so many students in this room even, Lord, and that they're now running the race following you. Lord, you tell us to press on, to keep on going to know you. Lord, help each Christian in this room to turn from sin, to keep repenting, to keep on turning away from evil, and to keep their hearts and their minds and their lives focused on you, running towards everything that you want for them, to be more like your son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this gospel, and we thank you for all that we hear in your word. We pray this in Christ's name today. Amen.